This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
He is pushing back with shutting off the natural gas to Poland and one other country. We're going to talk about it. What country is that? Can you guess? It borders Russia. And that's, of course, the big concerns of Putin. Everybody's talking about Elon Musk, whether they like him or not. He bought Twitter and he had people tweeting all over the place about what does it mean? Twitter is good. Will he ruin it? That's what some people are talking about. Or will he make it better? But we have other things to settle here, including what's going to happen on the Hill with the tax code that could affect you and me. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for hanging with us here on this show. So it's Poland and Bulgaria. That is what you were looking for. Who is Bulgaria? No, it's not Jeopardy. But that was the country that also is there right in the crosshairs of Russia. So Russia has decided you're not going to pay us in rubles. That's what we wanted. I'm not going to accept your dollars or euros. So done. They're suspending the supply of natural gas to those two countries this week. That is a very big shift. What does it mean? It means that they have enough now in both of those countries, they say, to deliver what their customers need. How long does that last? I think that was the big play for Vladimir Putin, that he would squeeze the countries that needed their natural gas and force them to pay in rubles instead of the other currencies, and it is not working. The European Union is heavily reliant on Russian natural gas. Homes are heated by it. Cook meals with it, generates a lot of electricity in most of the bloc's 27 member states, so that's very big. And there is a big concern that the European Union is too dependent on Moscow, and they've warned that the relationship could be weaponized. Now you have these two countries that are particularly vulnerable. Poland gets more than 45% of the natural gas from Russia that they need. Bulgaria more than 70%. But both countries claim that they're okay for now, that they can deliver, and they're looking at alternate gas supplies, and there would be no domestic restrictions on consumption. So they're not limiting it. They're not succumbing to what Putin has done. I mean, this is a flashpoint and has been, frankly, for years, but now it's worse because of the Ukraine and the situation with the Ukraine and Russia's invasion. So the question everybody wants to know, we can talk about Ukrainians who are getting away. In fact, coming up this hour in our next segment, we're going to have a conversation with Greg Stebbin, who is in Poland. So he's right there on the ground. And one of the things that Greg is going to talk about with us is what I said at the beginning, the Elon Musk factor, Twitter, because what does that mean when you've got a war going on and social media is a way people are finding out information? So what would Twitter have to do with Russia and the Ukraine? And also, what's going on the ground, period, in Poland, and the reaction to now this situation with the natural gas. So it's perfect time to talk to Greg about all that is going on there. The thing that is also mounting is, when is the end game? What is the end game? How fragile is all of this? Will Putin eventually wave the white flag, so to speak, and leave? Because the resolve in the West is really pretty hard in the Ukrainian war. You think about the confrontation. The confrontation is cutting them off in any way possible. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin was part of that trip to Kyiv to help bolster Ukraine's resistance. He said, we want to see Russia weakened to the degree that it can't do the kinds of things that it's done in invading the Ukraine. We want to see that happen. So there's some high-stakes strategy that is going on. The Russian army has been mauled. 15,000 Russians have been killed. 2,000 armored vehicles destroyed. 60 helicopters and jet fighters downed. The massive invasion, the army of 120 battalions, has suffered, by my calculations, a 25% loss in combat strength. That's a big blow. A big blow. But with these heavy losses and with what's happened, will he eventually decide this is the time, this economic stagnation, this is the time? I mean, U.S. exports to Russia have fallen 80% from a year ago. Items subject to export controls have fallen 99% by value. Tank production at two Russian plants has stopped because of lack of foreign parts. Russian sources of income evaporating. Evaporating. Russia's economy will contract, by most reports, this year by 8.5% to 15%. So as the casualties mount, the economic problems are happening, and then Moscow loses some power to invade these neighboring countries that they want to invade. What does that mean? Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov warned Monday of this week that NATO is, in essence, going to war with Russia through a proxy. He said the risk is serious. It should not be underestimated. It is very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. So would it be more attractive for Putin to pull out because it makes no more sense, or does he keep on keeping on to save face? That is the question that really none of us can answer. Even looking at all those things that I just said, that is the question that we cannot answer at this point. We cannot do it because we just frankly don't know. So far, he keeps holding his ground and does not pull out. The Vice President Kamala Harris announced that she has COVID, so she's isolating. The people around her that work with her on her team, who knows, at this point they're not announcing that there are many of those that have tested positive, but all that's happening right now in real time. 60% of people in the United States have had coronavirus infections. Isn't that interesting? 60%. Did you have it? Do you know people that have it or had it? I knew a lot of people that had it. So one-third of Americans before Omicron had been infected with coronavirus. By the end of February, that rate climbed to 60%. This is federal health data that was released. In the U.S., roughly 190 million people have been infected at least once since the pandemic. I know somebody who was infected twice. Once was pretty bad, not hospitalized, but it was nasty. And then another time it was not quite as bad, but still knocked her out of the game for a while. So what does it look like going forward? What kind of protection do we need? We're still in the mask wars and we're still debating boosters. That's where we're at, folks. Go to Poland next for a conversation with Greg Stebbin.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunnybay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powder Yarko that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powder Yarko Super Tea at DrinkSuperTea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powder Yarko Super Tea is only available at DrinkSuperTea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Greg Stebbin, he is in Poland. After all, there's a lot happening, and we've talked to him a few times on this show last week. We'll see if we can get him and get a reaction to what's going on with the natural gas cutoff to Poland. That's the big story coming up this week. So if we don't get him on this show, we'll get him on an upcoming show, because I'm sure he's scrambling around covering all that's going on there. I was talking about Putin moments ago, and one thing that has come up, we do not know what it means, if this is really something that's happening or not, but supposedly there are more rumors again of the President Putin, his declining health, right? So that would stop Putin. He looked, as some would say, puffy. His face was seriously noticeably bloated when he was posing for pictures with the famous Russian figure skater. And when he was seen last week, he didn't look so good. He was a little shaky, a little rickety at an Orthodox Easter service in Moscow. So it has also been rumored, and these are just rumors, they're not proven, that he's had 35 meetings in secret with an oncologist. The White House is not speculating on his health. They don't have any specifics on it. It's photographic evidence that he just doesn't look great. And is there truly the possibility that something is going on with his health? We don't know. But that is definitely one of the more interesting stories. All right, so as I said, the big story as far as what's going on with Russia is the fact that they're cutting off Poland and Bulgaria as far as natural gas is concerned. We go to our pal Greg Steben, who is there on the ground in Poland. We've been fortunate enough to talk to him a couple of times. Greg, certainly you know that's what's happening. What's been the reaction to that?
Well, I didn't read about it until late last night, and it's just 7 in the morning here. So, look, it's the big question you're asking is the really smart question, and then there's another question to ask, which is, what does it mean for everybody else?
Yeah.
My first thought when I read this is, it's summer, so this is not as much of a crisis as it would be if it was happening in November, December, or January. But I think it drives home something you and I have been talking about a lot, and that is, this is not Ukraine's war. This is a global war. This is a war against Europe. It's a war against the United States. It's a war against the West. So please don't look at this and say, oh, I feel so bad for those people in Poland. Start asking yourself, what is this going to mean for me?
Absolutely. And I talked about that earlier in the show. You're 100% right. What does it mean for everybody else? And to your point, you're right. This is the time of year where it's not as necessary in those freezing cold areas where they desperately would need that natural gas. They use it for other things besides heating, but a big majority of them use it for heating. So it is a fallout globally, not just for those two countries and not what the repercussions are specifically for this Ukraine war. What's really interesting is, so many years you've come on and talked about tech and business on this show, and you've certainly have done it for magazines from Men's Health to Forbes, etc. And I was really excited to have you on to ask you about Elon Musk and your reaction to, first of all, Musk buying Twitter, and what do you think?
Well, some people may hear this and go, why are we talking about Elon Musk, Twitter, Russia, and Ukraine all in the same conversation? But I think, again, I think it's really important to stop and look at the world around you and begin to bring context to all things. So I will tell you personally that I get a ton of my news about what's happening in Ukraine and about what's happening to Russia and the Russian military from Twitter. Now, everything I read on Twitter, I then go, if I think it's important, I then go back to the Internet and say, let me verify this with a credible source. I want to know that the BBC or the New York Times or some other really trusted, and I know some people have issues with the New York Times and the Washington Post. This isn't a discussion about the mainstream media. I'm just saying we know they have people with boots on the ground, is my point. I want to know someone else there who is a legitimate reporter can verify what I'm seeing. But Twitter, for instance, is also a great place to begin to follow regular Ukrainians to know what their life is like today. Like, for instance, over the Easter, they celebrated Easter a week after we do in the West. That weekend and these recent days, you see a lot of kind of normal Ukrainians trying to return to their normal life. That's a really important source of information. It builds our spirit and makes us feel good about the war and their progress and their ability to hold Russia off. And so when there's essentially an explosion within the world of social media, and social media is providing so much information and disinformation, because we should talk about that part of it too, you have to stop and say to yourself, what is going to be the impact of a change like this on things like world events like wars?
Absolutely. So when you're right there on the ground and you see it, and you know that a lot of people get their information. I mean, every politician releases what's going on in their world. Kamala Harris gets test positive for COVID-19. How do you find out about it? Twitter, because they release a statement that way. And whether it's something
that's
like
right.
that, or whether it's something else that's being voted on or whatever else is happening, all of it is there. And what's interesting is Elon Musk, what the conversation is, because he says, oh, it's going to be free speech, and he talks about that there will be, he's being vague, but he's saying there would be some changes, because we know that he talked about whatever he wanted to talk about on Twitter. So that does, when you talk about disinformation and information, that does become critical, don't you think?
I think it's one of the reasons there's a lot of people that are very opposed to him buying Twitter. I have to tell you, I feel very neutral about it.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, I'm not going to react to something. The sale hasn't happened. He is not even in a position to make a change.
Yep.
And frankly, I think he may make some great changes. He will also stumble because that's the nature of business and certainly social media. That being said, I think it's worth taking a look at his recent history in relationship to this war. I keep bringing it back to the war because I'm here in Poland. But you may recall very early on after the invasion, somebody, I don't even think it was a government official, but somebody went on Twitter and said, "We lost our internet in Ukraine. Hey, Elon Musk, can you help us with your Starlink system?" And I mean, an hour later, he said, "I'm on it." And hours after that, Ukrainians had internet again, compliments. Well, I mean, it took a little longer than that, but they were immediately solving the problem. Again, it points to the power of Twitter, but it also points to the fact that, you know, he is fully capable of acting quickly to do the right thing. There may be times where you don't agree with his definition of the right thing.
Yeah, boy, so true on all fronts with that. And we don't know yet because it's not official. We just know that pretty much it's almost locked because of what the board voted. They voted for Musk and, of course, the money, the $44 billion. It must be nice to be in that spot.
I had $44 billion hanging around, and I thought, you know, should I get a new car, a new suit, or buy Twitter? But I want to make a point here that I think is really important, and this gets to the history of Elon Musk as well. I don't think a sale like this, it's not like going to the grocery store and buying a can of tuna, right? I think there's probably going to be some pretty serious due diligence that happens here and lots of opportunities for both sides to back out because of the due diligence. I mean, you're going to have to back out with legitimate reasons, but I bring that up because Elon Musk likes attention. And it wouldn't shock me if a few months from now he was backing out of this deal because he discovered some things that he didn't like in the due diligence, and yet he still won because he got all of that attention starting now and going forward to the point where that might happen. So it's not a done deal, and yet I think the impact of it is great because we're having conversations like this and really taking time to appreciate the significance of Twitter in our lives. Mm-hmm. Even though it's a failing business, it is not a failing social media platform. And I think that in of itself is fascinating.
Yeah, I do too. Absolutely. Greg Stebbin, thanks as always. Stay safe, my friend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you. So there he is in Poland, and he makes very valid points about what we've been talking about with Twitter and Elon Musk, and look at the impact. He brings it right back around to the Ukraine, and what do? When they have no internet, who do they reach out to? Wow. Meet you on the flip side.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. the fate of the Remain in Mexico policy, which forces asylum seekers to wait south of the border, is now in the hands of the Supreme Court. Texas is suing to keep it in place.
The president undoubtedly has broad foreign policy discretion powers in dealing with foreign governments. That doesn't give the president a basis for ignoring a congressional command.
State Solicitor General Judd Stone arguing that under the Immigration and Nationality Act, if Homeland Security cannot detain illegal immigrants, it must send people to Mexico. Consumer confidence is slipping amid soaring inflation. The Conference Board's consumer index falling 0.3% in April after a modest increase last month. The board's Lynn Franco noting purchasing intentions are down overall, but Americans still plan to buy big-ticket items like cars and major appliances. USA Radio News. For the first time, more than half of the United States population has detectable levels of COVID-19 antibodies from a prior infection. That's according to new data from the CDC, but agency director Dr. Rochelle Walensky says that doesn't mean all of those people have maximum protection from the virus.
Those who have detectable antibody from prior infection, we still continue to encourage them to get vaccinated. We don't know how long when that infection was. We don't know whether that protection has waned.
The number of Americans with detectable COVID-19 antibodies surged from 34% in December to 58% in February. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says the United States won't take part in saber-rattling when it comes to Moscow's threats about a possible nuclear conflict. He called it reckless, dangerous, and unhelpful after a weekend visit to Ukraine. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Us, and he's written a book called Connected. We talked to him once a long time ago, it feels like. But his book is so, what is the word? It just pulls you in. You know what? It's like when you're watching TV and you see these good teases for a show that you think, oh, is this going to be a good crime show? Is this going to be interesting? And that's what I think. When I read his book, I think, and I've read it twice, I think that this is something that should be like on Netflix, or it should be somewhere. It should be turned into some kind of a television something or other. It should be adapted. But it's such an intriguing story, and he's such a good writer, and it's such a good novel. David, thanks for coming back on.
You're welcome. Nice to talk to you, Kate.
So for people who don't know about the story, let's start there. Tell them about the road to Connected. And it's a case of unique proximity. That's the other part of that. And it's about twins. Explain the story to people.
Well, it's the storyline is pretty simple for a complicated story. It's this is a crime novel. It's fictional. It takes place in around the Cambridge, Boston area of Massachusetts. And a Harvard professor, Dr. Janko, is stabbed to death, murdered, right at the beginning. And the murderer's brother comes forward as an eyewitness. And right in the beginning of the book, the murderer confesses. So it's not a whodunit because we know who the killer is. You know, he's not denying anything. The problem arises when we learn that the eyewitness brother and the murderer are conjoined twins. So they're literally joined at the abdomen since birth. And this is not only a police procedural. We follow two Cambridge City detectives on this case who don't really know what they're trying to prove because they're not trying to discover who killed the professor. But it's a legal dilemma of unprecedented proportion because they can't lock up the murderer without locking up his innocent brother along with him. The brother tried to stop the murderer, so he's not an accomplice. So this provides a kind of an unprecedented legal dilemma.
Yeah, no kidding, because you mean if you have to lock up the innocent brother along with the other brother, and then everything that happens in the legal system, and how do you prosecute somebody who's a murderer, who's, I guess, is kind of immune to the punishment because
kind
of the fact
of
the twin?
Yeah. I mean, the prosecution is trying to, you know, not let a murderer walk free, but the defense doesn't want an innocent man to go to prison. I mean, anything they do to try to punish the murderer would certainly affect his conjoined twin. So it is a legal dilemma. In fact, I've had people, I've talked to people who read the book, and they said the whole way through, because there are a lot of courtroom scenes in this,
yeah,
the whole way through the book, they're thinking, gosh, if I were the judge, what would I do? How would I rule in this case? And there are a number of courtroom cases because you have two individuals. So
how did you come up with this story?
The story has kind of been in the back of my mind for many, many years. It started, actually, I know exactly when it started. It was probably more than 20 years ago now. I read a biography, a true story, a biography of Chang and Eng, who were born in the 1800s in Thailand, which was then Siam, hence the term Siamese twins. And they were born conjoined back in the 1800s. They eventually moved to, they were brought to the U.S., where they worked in the employ of the P.T. Barnum Circus as freaks, quote unquote. And Chang and Eng lived in the southern part of the United States. They actually made quite a bit of money working for the circus. They each had their own farm. They'd spend a couple days at one farm, then travel to the other one's farm, work there for a couple days. They were both married, and you sitting down for this?
I'm sitting down.
Yeah. Between them, they had 21 children. And I know. That's what got me to think. I mean, I couldn't get my mind off of that. I thought, gosh, there must be some mechanism in the human brain that allows you to turn off all awareness of what's happening just right beside, inches beside you, or else they'd go insane. I mean, that's their only way they can be alone. And I thought, gosh, if that's the case, if there's this part of the human brain that can just shut off awareness, one could commit a murder or any kind of crime, and the other wouldn't know it till it's done. And that's when the light bulb went off. But that was many years before I started writing. And then what followed was 4.5, almost 5 years of both legal and medical research. I know more about conjoined twins than probably most people. But it's fascinating. I mean, you know, we don't realize that, in fact, they spend a lot of time in courtroom scenes trying to convince the court that they are indeed two separate individuals, if separate only in a figurative sense. They both have different personalities, and this comes through in a lot of the courtroom scenes. In fact, they have totally different personalities. So that's how it started.
Yeah, wow. And all that research. And that's, it's so well written, and that's it, because you really put the time into it. What do you hope people take away from reading your book? And you said it with the questions. I think part of it is that, like, ooh, it opens your mind to thinking, what would you do? What would the judge do?
What would I do if I were the judge? Right. I think that people will be feeling that the whole way through on every page, but also just to realize that I had one disabled person who had read this who called to thank me and said that it helps people have an awareness of just because we're different, just because we may have a physical disability, we're not different. We still have, personalities. We still have interests. We still have fun. We still laugh. So he was just thanking me for bringing that awareness to people's attention.
Yeah. You can get the book, of course, Connected, David Random. It's easy to find it on Amazon. It has a beautiful new cover on it that, again, that just, like, brought to mind, this needs to be something on the tube or somewhere. And who knows?
That would
one
be
day,
great.
Yeah. Who knows? One day it might end up there. You talk about your research for that, and you are such an interesting person, David. I wanted to tell people something else that you've done, because you've created these rockets. And the rockets right now, for a short time still, but where people can see the pictures anyway, you could go to bostonsculptors.com and you can see some of David's rockets. Tell us about that. Tell us about doing these sculptures.
That started many years ago as well. For a while, I was a part-time antique dealer, and I'd come back from antique auctions with all this wonderfully decorative stuff and, box lots of it, and not really knowing what to do with it. I hung some of it on the wall because just individual pieces are so beautiful. And eventually, because my background is in art anyway, I attended Massachusetts College of Art, and my whole career was as an art director. I started putting pieces together that just seemed to want to fit. And because of a kind of a childhood fascination with Flash Gordon and Jules Verne, which is known as steampunk now, for those of you who are familiar with the term steampunk, I started making the things, just wanted to become rocket ships. All these antique and vintage parts went together and formed rocket ships. And that's all I used, by the way, is antique and vintage repurposed artifacts. And they can be seen at davidrandom.com, as well as Boston Sculptors Gallery, where I have an exhibit currently in Boston. And I made this scavenger hunt kind of for people, and especially kids enjoy it too. It's a list of, I think, 15 or 20 items that can you find the, and then they have to go around to all my different rockets and see if they can track down the bicycle pedal, the ice skate blades, the antique hose nozzles, and they're all antique and vintage pieces. So they have to, go around to all these different rocket ships and find all the pieces. And they're made so they blend in. It's not, these aren't supposed to look like patchwork quilts, but the sort of one contiguous piece. And they're all rocket ships, so.
I love it. I'd love to see that traveling around, too, where we could all go on that scavenger hunt. But it's wonderful. And you said at davidrandom.com, you can go there and see those as well. Pick up Connected.
Right.
It's on Amazon. David, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate. Have a great day.
well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney.
I have them.
Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, katedelaneyradio.com, I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriend, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at katedelaneyradio.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Well, I'm excited to take you to Romania for a conversation with Gabby Badaluta. She's written a book that I think should be in everybody's toolkit, especially when you think of what's happening to so many people the last couple of years and how tough it's been with stress, etc. Her book is called The Map of Healing, The Beginnings, and she's a clinical psychologist and so passionate about what she does. As she said to me off the air, she's a guide for so many people, and that feeling of transformation, I can imagine, has to be wonderful when she sees that happen with some of the people that she's worked with. And now, thanks to this book, you have a chance to look at that map, and perhaps so many of you will be helped by this. I think you certainly could be. Gabby, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you, Kate. Thank you. It's an honor to be here with you.
So you said to me that you always wanted to be a psychologist. You're a clinical psychologist. You always wanted to do this since you were a little girl. So for you, what is it like? What is your job? What is it like? Because you're in the transformation business of people who are really struggling and hurting out there.
Yes, I think this is a life purpose for me, to help people, to guide them. And it's been a real transformation also for me, because I've started this journey since I was young. And first I transformed myself so I can help people. And still nowadays, I'm still reading, I'm still doing all kinds of courses and seminars. And, you know, the world is evolving, and I have to evolve too. So this is what's helping me to help people.
I love that, helping you to help people. So how did you have to transform?
Well, you know, as it is written in the book, in The Map of Healing, everybody has their history, their past. Everybody has a family, and we all come from all kind of stresses in the family, all kind of traumas of dramatic situations. As I know it, no family has escaped this. And it's natural, it's how it is with us humans. So I had to do my own journey to find out my own steps on the map. And I like to think about myself that I'm a methodical person. I like to be structured. And when I help a person, I like to give that person a notion of structure to see his life in steps as it really is, to see, as, you know, when you walk into a room and you have drawers with some kind of product in one part of the room, you have other kinds of drawers with, I don't know, cosmetics and other kinds of drawers with clothes. So it has to be, until some point, it has to be a little bit organized inside of you, so you know what you're dealing with.
Yeah, and then listening to that, like you say, so you know what you're dealing with. I love the direction that we're taking in the conversation, because you said you're methodical. It makes sense. So you're giving us a map. And tell us more about that map that's in the book, the map of healing, the beginnings. So that is laid out that way. Tell us about the book.
Yes, the book, I've written it, as I said, to be a guide for other people also, as it was for me. And I think it's really important that you know yourself, that you know who you are right now, that you know, and you make a clear difference of who you were and what you suffered, what you experienced in your life. Of course, we do care about your joys, your fun parts, the good things in your life. But when you want to heal something, we have to focus on what went wrong or what went not so good in your life. So once you discover from your present day and your past, your childhood, your family tree, what kind of emotional and cognitive struggles you and your family had, then it's beginning to be more clear what kind of mistakes you and your family made to get there. And it's very important to release the negative or the stressful feelings inside. So once you're free, you get more room inside of you to enjoy yourself, to enjoy life, because this is what life is about, to enjoy it. This is why we are here on this earth, to enjoy. To enjoy life, to enjoy ourselves, to enjoy our relationships, to enjoy our bodies.
Wow. Yeah, I agree with you. In opening up that joy, you've seen that transformation in people, haven't you?
Yes. This is the real transformation, you know. With everything that you've been through in your life, it's important to have and to find the resources inside of you to find this joy and to be happy. Because in the end, when you put your head on the pillow at night, it's so important to feel good inside of your skin, to feel good with your life, and to feel good with yourself. And when you feel good with yourself, good things come, you know? Good health, good relationships.
Absolutely. Yeah. So when people read The Map of Healing, The Beginnings, and we're speaking with Gabby Badaluta, you can get this book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. What do you hope they take away from reading your book? And I think you're telling us it.
they get this feeling of more clarity of how to step into the beautiful part of their lives. So how to find tools to leave the drama, to leave the suffering, because lots of people get so stuck in their own dramas, in their own suffering and stresses, and they don't see the sun, you know? So this is the main thing I hope they get from this book, to see another direction, to see the importance of their emotions for their own health and well-being.
I like that, to see a new direction. Perfect place to end this. And I told people where they can get your book. Tell us about your website. Where can we go to find out more about you?
Yes, you can find also the book on my website. It's www.en.gabibadaluta.com.
Gabby Badaluta, it's been wonderful speaking to you. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Kate. Thank you for your invitation.
A couple of quick headlines for you as we head for the exits. One, the Dow fell 800 points. That's because of the recession fears. We know negative news fuels the market. Kamala Harris, the VP, tested positive for COVID, the latest in a line of politicians who have fallen prey to the latest version of COVID. And I think the really big thing that people are talking about still is Elon Musk and Twitter, because there's fear of what's going to happen to this Twitter sphere and social media, like it or not. Some people really embrace it, some don't. But I keep saying this number. When you look at over 3.7 billion people in the world on some platform and so many of them on Twitter, plus the influence on Twitter, this gives him more power and influence. It does. So he agreed to $44 billion roughly in this deal. I guess he had lined up over $44 billion in financing to come up with the goods to acquire the company. The bottom line is it was unanimously approved by the company's board, so Twitter said yes, and it's expected to happen this year. He's offering little hints. He's leaving a bread trail, so to speak, about the future of the content on Twitter, because this is the concern, saying that he's against censorship that goes far beyond the law. So how do you interpret that? And he's been quoted as saying, free speech, free speech. He says, I simply mean that which matches the law. If people want less free speech, they'll ask the government to pass laws to that effect. Going beyond the law is contrary to the will of the people. So if you read between the lines, it sounds like under his ownership that they would remove only illegal content like child pornography, incitement, that kind of stuff, but stop short of limiting speech that's legal yet commonly enforced against mainstream tech platforms today, like vaccine conversation, election conversation. So this will be very, very interesting, my friends. Thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.